Working sex into a relationship can be hard.
Oh, yeah.
You got different schedules. You got long days. If you have kids in the house, it becomes an obstacle course. Mm. But if you're someone in a relationship that isn't happy with the amount of love you're getting.
What do you do, Pat?
I mean, you may not have to fix any of the things I just mentioned. And it may not be that your partner isn't attracted to you.
Mm.
It may all have to do with what time it is.
Like time of day.
You got it. Mm. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. I know you can hear our sultry voices.
Oh, yeah.
But on a Valentine's Day, why not get a look at three sexy people? If you don't want to do that, you can check out our live stream, the Odyssey app, WCMF.com, YouTube, and Twitch, The Break Room, WCMF, on YouTube and Twitch. And if you miss any of our shows, any moment of any of our shows, all of our shows are saved automatically when the show is over on our YouTube page.
Wow, like a big safe.
Yeah. No, it would be a big danger, actually.
Yeah.
All of that on The Break Room, WCMF, on YouTube. So check us out and enjoy Tommy's leather ballet shoes this morning. Tommy.
Yeah.
If I asked you the optimal time to have sex, like time of day or night, you would say?
Well, for a man or for a woman?
I'm saying as a couple together.
Well, it had to be late evening.
Late evening. All right.
Like when the kids are asleep, the lights are low.
It's always nighttime.
You in bed.
Yeah.
Time to get busy.
Candles are lit, sun goes down, and we are going to rock that body till the break of dawn slash like 10:15.
But I'm guessing I'm wrong.
Yeah, it turns out this whole time, all of us were doing it wrong, because I think everybody thinks the way that you think.
Well, that's kind of what everything lines up.
Is this according to other people or according to, like, research?
Research.
Okay.
Oh.
So several studies that have been done recently into libido and sexual activity are suggesting that every human has their own individual personal sex clock.
Oh, so it varies. Oh.
You got it. Not everybody wants sex at night. In fact, it is being theorized in these studies that nighttime could be the worst time for sex.
Oh, because you're run down in the day?
Well, okay, so let me put it this
stress?
Way.
Stress?
I'm going to tell you.
But you do get the morning boner.
So to that
morning
point.
Wood.
To that point. Research found that for men, morning was prime sex time, right when you wake up, because the reason you get a boner, you have higher testosterone levels in the morning.
Yeah, sometimes you wake up with a rail.
Yeah, yeah, which is really rough when you're trying to roll over.
like a kickstand?
They also say for a lot of men, it is the time where sex will be the most pleasurable for you when you wake up.
What about the gals?
Well, that's just it.
Is she a morning gal or a night gal?
They found for women, afternoon most of the time was their prime sex time. And the theory there is that women get a hormonal surge in the afternoon.
Like around 3?
Yeah, naturally, yes. So I'm going to read you a quote from one of these studies. Are you ready? The afternoon hormonal surge allows for increased arousal and lubrication.
Wow. Oh, she's already lubed.
No.
Nope.
No, she's lubed down there. She's loose. What does it mean, though?
No, it's what it means. You didn't have to say it again. I'm not sure you understand it.
Lubrication. She's lubed.
I do find it funny, Kimmy, how these scientists talk about the human body like the guy at Valvoline talks about your Ford F-150.
It's all ready to go.
All lubed up. You were going to say something, Kimmy. I cut you off.
I would have thought that varied so much for women that it would be hard to pinpoint a time just based on, like you said, like your hormones and where you are in your cycle at any given time. Like, I just think that's got to constantly change for women.
Okay, so they do say in this study that when I say men in the morning, women in the afternoon, it's not like overwhelming that. Everybody may have their own clock, and they do point out, too, Kimmy, like different time of month could affect
different
things.
Yeah, you might not even be the same person month to month.
But one thing was definitely for sure.
What was that?
Despite the fact that the overwhelming majority of Americans, 18 and 51, have sex between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m. Did you know that?
No, but that makes sense. It's the evening.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is by far the worst time to have sex. They say at that time your melatonin rises. It makes you sleepy. Mm-hmm. For men, testosterone is at its lowest.
Yeah, you're drained. You're drained from the day.
I assume like the later it happens, the more likely are you that you had a night out, could be drunk.
Okay, but that kind of makes it more fun maybe. I don't know, depending on
how
it goes.
Well, if it works for you, because there are some guys it may not work for.
So it needs to be a date morning or mid-afternoon.
The best sex you will have where both of you want it will either be right after you wake up.
Or before 5.
You got it. So the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Could the average person work around this information we just learned to have better sex?
The morning one, maybe the afternoon one, be almost impossible.
Why is that?
Well, think of what's going on for in your day between 2 and 5 o'clock.
Okay.
You're probably not even home.
Right.
So how is that going to happen? And if both of you are home, probably the kids are home.
Okay.
So, like, to me, if you have, like, yourself with kids, it's impossible.
Sure, well, unless it's a Saturday or Sunday, how are you doing it in the morning?
Early.
Well, you, before you go to work.
Yeah, but that's given if
quietly.
Both of you were up at the same time. You're not somebody that hits the snooze button 1,000 times and then has 2 seconds to get ready.
Listen to sexy romantic Kimmy over here. Hey, Kimmy.
Well, like, is that really like a...
Could you imagine,
I would think, like, the second she smells you take off that mask and she smells your breath.
Okay, first of all, it's just a nose mask. Second of all, I'll brush my teeth.
Yeah, you rinse and gargle.
And then she...
No.
Will.
She'll do a little gargling.
No.
Morning gargle.
And it's not happening.
252 WCFF. New study suggests that having sex at night is the worst time to have sex. That men will have the best sex, most pleasurable sex right after you wake up based on testosterone. Mm. For women, their hormones dictate that early afternoon is the best time for sex. But here's the thing. I'm going to counterpoint the thing you just said there. You too, Kim.
About 5 o'clock?
The mid-afternoon
bang?
The idea that it's impossible.
Yeah.
Look. You know, as you get on in a relationship, the more years you are with somebody, the more complicated your sexual relationship becomes.
Sure.
And if you are someone that is, you know, desperate to get back to something that you enjoy, have that connection again, I don't know how hard it would be to organize these two things. Because, like, let's think about this. How sexy would it be if you and your wife were going to meet at home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, find a way to sneak out of work and get there?
I mean, you would almost feel like, that would be very tantalizing.
How often would you do that, though?
It's a good question, but how often are you having sex right now that's good anyway? Right. I mean, if you are someone trying to find a solution to a dying sex life,
Okay. So after church, before dinner, Sunday afternoon sex. That'd be the only time you could probably pull it off.
Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like you sound disappointed. Like that you enjoy night sex.
Well,
one of the worst Seeger songs of all time.
Night sex.
That was terrible.
But I would also think...
Night sex.
Remember when Bob Seger hummed the whole...
Sexy at night.
Why is Sinatra doing Bob Seger?
Well, they did a ballad together.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And then they had night sex?
Yeah.
Well, I would think like you would also want it to be a time where you're both relaxed and not rushed. And you know what I mean? Like, that's why I would think like the night would just be better for both of you in terms of just not being worried about other things.
True.
Maybe that goes more for her than you, but I would think that the afternoon thing would be tough to pull off if you're somebody that's stressed throughout their day.
Can I talk about something Kimmy just said? And I'm glad you brought it up. Because you brought up night and you go, you've had a long day, you're all stressed out. Maybe it applies more to her than you.
Mm.
There is this belief
that
men should want sex all the time.
Yeah.
Nonstop. If it is offered, you take it.
Well, as a kid, yes.
Sure. But that's what I mean. Mm. And Kimmy, guys have long days too.
Yeah.
Guys get tired too.
Sure.
Guys have other things
on
their mind as well.
You're the ones that say like it's more mental for women than it is for men. Like I'm quoting you two.
I guess what I'm saying
don't
is
don't ever quote me. Please.
There are men who are in relationships where women believe that they don't find them attractive anymore because when you get to nighttime after a long day, you
drag
them. You don't have it in you anymore, right? Yeah. You're shy.
You limp.
You got to get to. And it's not even a physical thing.
Maybe you limped in.
You get to bed. Shut up.
You get a hip pointer.
Shut up. No. You're just out of gas.
Yeah.
You're out of gas.
Sure.
It's socially acceptable for a woman to look at her husband at 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, absolutely.
And say, I'm too tired. And you just got to deal with it.
Right. Go to bed.
If a guy does that.
Oh, yeah.
It feels like he doesn't want me anymore. He doesn't find me attractive.
That's a relationship grenade.
Is dying.
That is a marital grenade you just threw in your room.
It's not fair.
I understand.
Like, I mean, the amount of guys I know that have had this conversation where my wife thinks she doesn't want me anymore and I'm just tired. I'm just tired at night. What can I do? We got to get out of that idea.
Yeah, I know. But good luck.
How do you do it? What can we do?
That's why Viagra kind of helps guys out when they're dragging like that and they're too tired.
But Viagra isn't going to, it's not Coke.
No, you have to be stimulated for it to work. It just maintains it.
I think it is a boost. I think we're having two different conversations. I'm not even talking about maintaining an erection. I'm talking about I just don't have the gas
in you're tired.
Me.
I understand.
But if you had
to muscle through because you don't want to say no.
Sure.
What are your options?
252 WCMF. Let's talk to Howard. Hey, Howard, how are you, buddy?
Howard's getting laid.
Hey, what's up? Good morning.
Yo.
So here's the thing. I think there's two different categories here. One for if you're married, one for if you're not married. And obviously it's different, male versus female. Getting up in the morning, you're always rock hard. You're ready to go all day long. However, my wife is, she's not there. So I think the best time of day, I think, yeah, definitely during the day, but it's kind of one of those things where you got to get it where you can take it.
Okay, no, look, that's not bad advice. Get it where you can. But Howard, let me ask you some personal questions, if you don't mind.
Give it to me.
Are you married?
He just said he
was. Of course.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was reading a tweet. There was somebody who saw it. I'm sorry, Howard. All right. So on a scale of 1 to 10, and we're an honest show, Howard, 10 being the greatest, how would you describe the sexual relationship with your wife?
I'll put it at eight.
Damn, good for Howard.
Good for Howard. All right. Is she the one asking the majority of the time, like starting, or are you the one starting the majority of the time?
Oh, I'm always starting.
Okay. All right. If your wife came to you and said, it feels the best for me at 5:30, right when we get home from work every single day, would you be willing to adjust your schedule solely for her?
I'm home by 5 every day then.
Do you think your wife would do the same thing for you?
Not at all.
All right, there we go. Come on, like that's not fair. I mean,
I know.
Not to sound like a toddler, but that is not fair. It takes two here, Howard.
It does.
It's a double standard, though. It is, and it's, you know, my wife, she likes the candle, so that's kind of the, you know, the indicator there. But you also get that bait and switch where you're like, all right, let's have a nice dinner, let's do the romantic thing, and then after she eats, it's like, yeah, maybe tomorrow.
That is very frustrating, and that's all I'm going to say about that. So, all right, Howard, what do you got planned for Valentine's Day?
So, we got dinner going on tomorrow, and she does not know that she's getting a dozen roses and 12 strawberries delivered to her office today.
Damn, Howard!
Going big. Right.
Look at you.
I know.
I gotta stop talking to Tommy. I gotta start talking to Howard about Valentine's Day.
Yeah, you gotta step your game up, you know, but it's 50-50 because, you know, I did order it like yesterday, so hopefully it's there before the end of business.
Howard, good luck with your afternoon sex, buddy. Thanks for the call.
All right, peace.
All right, there goes Howard.
Suave Howard.
I mean, I gotta give it to him. The guy had his, he had it together. So, as we have this information here that most women, the most percentage of women have the best sex in the afternoon, where the most percentage of men have the best sex in the morning, nighttime, the worst time to have sex physically.
Mm.
Should we be at a point now where we're using whatever body time we like sex the most, whatever time, let me try this again, whatever time of day our body likes sex the most.
Our body clock says, let's go.
To find a partner that has something similar.
Oh, like you got to line up. Like, that should be, like, something you're looking for when you start dating.
A life partner.
Yeah, I mean, look.
What's your sex clock? Where's your sex clock?
Yes, exactly. Because, like, people, you know, they won't. Some folks, you know, religion matters to me. Mm-hmm. I want to find someone with the same religion, you know.
But you'd have to bring that up.
Why? It would be as simple as, like, putting it in a dating profile.
Oh, all right. But let's say if you just met somebody.
Okay.
No dating, one-on-one.
Sure.
You would have to bring that up.
I don't know if most people know that information about themselves. You'd also have to really be sure that that is the time that you prefer to have sex, or that's the best time of day for you to have sex, because a lot of, like I said, I think that varies for a lot of women, so she may not really, she may have like an idea, but she might not know.
So you don't think it's possible to figure that out for yourself?
I think it'd be really hard for it to line up and both parties like know the answer to that.
Yeah, because what are the odds that with everything else, that also lines up.
Well, I mean, look, but what are the odds that with everything else, you're the same religion, ethnic background, if that matters, you want to raise your kid in an Italian family.
Like, in the beginning of a relationship, it's hard to tell anyways.
Well,
because
if it's
you're
an
probably,
Italian relationship, that's easy. She never wants it.
But I would think in the beginning, you know, when you're in that honeymoon stage, anytime's great. So you might not know for a long time. Which
that's an out of control dream.
No,
man.
But here's the thing: you only dated as a young woman. You've never dated as an older person, right?
So maybe you know more about yourself,
right?
Yeah.
And like now that we have this information, single people can also use it to their advantage, because if you're a single guy, knowing that most ladies prefer sex in the afternoon, if you're gonna do it first time, make it in the middle of the day.
Oh yeah.
Right, like second date. Take her out to
brunch. That's almost like high school days. Like you're a kid again.
Yeah, right before mom and dad get home from work. But like, I mean, second
date. That would be fun.
Take her out to brunch, right? Find a reason to go back to your place. And now she's getting it at the time she wants it the most. And same for the ladies, right? Like, don't sleep with him and then show up at his house 7 a.m. one day and lay it. That sounds weirder.
Yeah, that doesn't sound creepy.
No, I don't want to have sex with you tonight. Next day. I'm here, bitch.
But he'd take it.
Well, yeah, but you would have to explain why you didn't sleep with him at night a couple days before, but now I'm here just for sex.
I don't think he'd be all that I think he would just take it and be quiet.
Understood, but I also would think as a woman, maybe that's not the reputation I'm looking for.
You look
if
a
I
little
want,
trampy.
If I want to make this a long-term relationship,
yeah.
where he thinks I'm just going to show up at his house at random times to
and
bang
then
him.
Leave.
Yeah. Money's on the dresser. I'll say
welcome wagon.
There are some places that are just fight powder kegs waiting to explode.
Oh, yeah, at certain joints.
Yeah, you think bars, sporting events, places with masculinity running through them.
Maybe a little alcohol.
So in that way, minus the alcohol, as silly as the story is, it kind of makes sense. Because when you have all kinds of guys who think they know everything all in one place, there are bound to be disagreements. But the fact that it got this far.
Wow.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. We'll jump right into the story. A 20-year-old man has been arrested after an incident in the parking lot of a Lowe's. Authorities say all the way back on January 22nd, the 20-year-old got in a verbal altercation with another man in the parking lot of the store.
All right.
Eventually, the men were separated, and the 20-year-old began to leave in his car. However, they do say, it ain't over till it's over.
So what did he do in his car?
Authorities say the 20-year-old got out of his car. And then
he got in his car.
Yep, got back out. And then hit the man he was arguing with in the back with a wooden stick.
A wooden stick?
A wooden stick.
We're talking walking tall. Buford Pussard.
But it's very WWE, isn't it? Oh, my God, he's out of the car, and he's got a stick. So after an investigation, the 20-year-old was arrested last week.
For a sticking.
Yes. Wow. Now, keep in mind, this happened back on January 22nd, according to police. He's been charged with attempted assault and criminal possession of a weapon. And I guess in this case, the weapon would be the stick.
Easy stick.
He's got a court date coming up. So I know a fight at a big box hardware store sounds silly.
Yeah.
But when you really think about it, the more likely it becomes something like this would happen. Because, Tommy, if you go to a Home Depot or a Lowe's or whatever, it's a store full of men who think they know everything.
Burly men.
Right?
Manly men doing manly things, getting it done, Pat.
And they have to get what they have to get for their project, and they don't want to be interrupted by anything.
Right.
Every guy in that store thinks they know more than every employee.
And they're focused.
Every guy there thinks the service should be better, the prices should be lower, the selection should be wider. And so help me God if this self-checkout doesn't work right. I mean, there's a lot of stress for guys.
There is.
And it's stress for no reason, but stress nonetheless.
Man stress.
So the idea that a little incident walking out in the parking lot could boil over into a back sticking, I mean, it's not all that out of the question.
True.
What are the odds that guy needed that stick for the project he went there for?
Oh, damn it. I got to go get another one.
It doesn't say he broke the stick
Good
over
point.
His back. It says he
Good
just
point.
Used it.
Yeah.
And you know, here's the thing. If he didn't break the stick and he bought that for a project, you know he brought it home and was like sticking it in the ground. He's like, yeah, this is my trophy.
Oh, yeah.
Across that man's back. How old do you think the guy who was allegedly hit with the wooden stick was?
Older than 20.
You think so?
By a bunch.
Okay, you think? I think the older the guy, the less likely that guy's hitting him with the stick.
Oh, I don't mean like the guy's ancient.
Oh,
like
okay.
My
so what
age.
Do you think?
I thought, when I thought 20-year-old popped a dude in the back with a stick, I thought the other dude was like your age or a little above, like between, what are you, 37?
I'm 38.
Between 38 and 45.
Okay. So it's at least a 20-year sticking.
Yeah, and those boys got a sweet spot in the back where you can take them down one swing.
So you don't think that a 20-year-old would hit a 60-year-old man in the back with a stick?
I guess,
you're saying
I mean,
have to
I
be different generations for would, that to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. I mean, it's not out of the question, but I'm guessing you don't need a stick to take down a guy my age.
Well, no, you don't need it, but it would be satisfying to blast
just
you in the back.
Just don't encourage that,
No, I'm not
Patrick.
Saying do it. I'm saying if I had a stick.
Just don't say that.
The first thing I would do with it was hit you in the back with it. Kimmy, is this an older victim, if the allegations are true, or a guy around 20?
I would probably actually put him in his, like, 30s-ish.
Because
okay. It'd be one of those things where I could see the younger guy thinking, well, you're not old enough to, like, be... To be telling me what to do,
okay.
kind of thing.
Yeah, there's not a lot of 20-year-old customers in those stores.
Well, you're also not in a big box store in the middle of the week. Where
I mean,
got...
he could be working for a contractor grabbing stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, if he's on the job, yeah, there's lots of guys right. that age that are running in and out grabbing stuff. Now, here's the thing. I'm with you guys. It would make the most logical sense if there was two younger guys full of you-know-what and vinegar. Because, like, when you see a fight at a bar or a sporting event, the most likely pairing are two younger guys.
Yeah.
They are dumb enough to have something to prove. Not old enough to have the wisdom to just walk away. But at the same time, there are some old men, Tommy, who look at Lowe's, Home Depot, True Value as their territory.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean that generationally. Like, one day, these young kids walking around these stores, they'll earn their wings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you ain't earned them yet.
Yeah.
And if one of them's getting too big for their britches, someone's got to pull their pants down.
Okay.
In a figurative way.
They get mad if the people working there look too young.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that the fight was over, at least according to reports, and then he came back and hit him with the stick,
yeah,
tells me this was an old man.
Oh, like the old, older guy.
Well, right. Like, the old man wanted to get his words in and then get out of there before it got really bad. And he'd have done it, too, if it weren't for that meddling stick to the back. Phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. We're talking about the story of 20-year-old man arrested after an incident at Lowe's. Police say he got into a verbal altercation with another man in the parking lot. Eventually, they were separated. The 20-year-old began to leave in his car. He then got out of his car, according to police, and hit the other man in the back with a wooden stick. This happened all the way back on January 22nd, but the 20-year-old was just arrested this week for attempted assault and possession of a weapon, criminal possession of a weapon. There is a big-time lesson here for everyone.
Well, what's the lesson?
Every single negative interaction you get into has the potential to go very wrong.
Well, sure. You never know.
Especially if it carries out.
I was going to shake out.
Especially if it carries out into the parking lot. You know, once it gets to that point, I feel like all bets are off.
But, Kimmy, even if this fight did start in the parking lot,
okay,
let's say guy was pulling out, almost hit him. Let's say, hey, I'm trying to get in here, whatever. This story is the story of unforced errors on both parties' sides. Mm. If the victim avoids the initial argument,
just lets it go,
they don't end up with a wooden stick in their back.
Yes.
If the suspect just continues to drive off in his car,
he's not in jail.
Yeah, he's not facing charges. Mm. Like, we're a show that is very anti-living in fear, thinking everyone is out to get you.
Mm.
But at the same time, you can't decrease your chances of something bad happening to you if you just let it go.
So you got to think, before you open up your mouth, could this lead to a stickin'?
Yeah, I think that's the perfect way to put it.
Then put that on a t-shirt and sell it at Lowe's.
Stickin's the best case scenario, by the way. I mean, thank God this kid wasn't buying a machete.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, like, let it go. Like, it's not that important. A week later, you're not even going to remember that interaction.
Probably not.
Unless you're in handcuffs or seeing your chiropractor for a bad case of woodback, right?
Yeah, you got to wonder if after the stick was swung, if that kid immediately regretted it or if they walked away satisfied. Like, yeah, I got the last word.
Mm. Okay. I'm going to say...
Or if they were like, oh, crap, probably shouldn't have taken it that far.
A man over 35.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to go... A man over 30 will be driving away saying, I should not have done that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A 20-year-old kid will immediately call his friends and tell, I just blasted a dude in the back with a wooden stick.
Yeah.
You're going to brag about it at the bar that night. You're going to tell your girlfriend and she's going to be like, what the hell's wrong with you? Like, no, you don't get it. I hit it with a stick. Like, that kid's excited if the allegations are true.
But that's what youth is, right? Stupidity.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And like, you know, I have no sympathy if the allegations are true for the 20-year-old.
Mm.
I mean, the other lesson here is the younger the person, the less wisdom they have that if this goes really wrong, things can get really bad.
Yeah, they don't see the future results.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they also don't understand, if you're an older person, how truly fragile the human body is.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, at 20, I could take, like, 5 sticks to the back.
That was after your shows.
But you're going down hard.
I did last night.
Much like your mama. Got to the finish line first.
What's interesting?
yes,
is I guess we don't know because it doesn't say in the story. But that person that got hit also didn't fight back, and I don't know what that says about their age.
They could have been. I mean, all right, if they didn't fight back, it could be I'm done here and I don't want to go any further.
Which they
could
have gotten
wallowed.
Which
man.
Is right. Which they is a smart
just been,
move.
Ah, yeah. Ah, my back.
Well, you catch me in the back like that?
Yeah.
Oh man.
That's why it could have been an older person.
Yeah, she's not wrong. I mean, if he puts it down.
I would think like 30-something, it's going to freaking hurt, but your adrenaline's pumping at that point. Mm. I would think you'd turn around and chase that kid down.
I got to say, let's say this was someone under 35, right?
Mm.
Not that, put it this way. If it was someone under 35 and he got walloped so hard with that stick that they could not physically get up, like it hurt so much, that's the worst part of the story. Because not only have you become a spectacle where this kid just wooded you in the back.
Yeah.
And granted, it's a dirty move if the allegations are true,
totally
but it's still
understandable
happened.
That you wouldn't do anything after.
No, but I'm saying you would want to do something and not have physical capacity to do it. The thing that would have bothered me the most is that I wasn't able to get up and like, all right, let's do this thing.
But he also got up on you without you realizing it, and there were people there.
Yeah.
Based on the fact that they had to be separated.
Yes.
Which tells me there was a group of people pulling them apart. This kid was able to get up on behind you. That had to happen fairly quickly because the other guy was still in the parking lot.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So nobody go, hey, he's got a stick, Charlie. What?
But here's the thing.
Unless everybody had walked away at that point, thinking it was over.
It's also so unexpected. Hit me the stick. You could yell, watch out. And the guy would be like, watch out for, blah! What am I watching?
But he circled around. Like, he left and kind of circled back, got out of the car, pulled his stick at him, and popped you. All that had to go down fairly quick, unless you were, like, loading your car
up. I mean, look, I would think if I got in an argument, we separated, and I saw the guy get in the car, it's over. I would not think
But there's other people around still, right?
I think you're overestimating when you yell, watch out. Because the first reaction to watch out is to stick your head up and go, what?
Like looking up like something's going to hit me.
Yeah.
Something's falling.
Where? Huh? Blah! Like, I'm not smart enough to immediately curl up into a ball if someone says watch out. The first thing, and I don't even know if they're talking to me.
Yeah, true.
Watch out. Who's got to watch? Ah!
He's got his stick.
All right, let's take a break. Oh, I got a bad feeling about this.
What happened?
Look, man, this Bills team is great. They're so much fun. The expectation was they were going to add, like, you know, a superstar to push them over the edge of the offseason. You got a lot of draft capital you can use if you want to go that route. Everything was lining up great. And then this, because here's the thing, Kimmy. You understand, this guy wants to get paid. He's only got a short period of time to do it.
Right.
The Bills haven't dealt with this in a while, though.
Especially at this position.
Yes. Yeah.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Earlier this week, Bills running back James Cook made some waves on Instagram.
What's he saying?
So James Cook is not a free agent this coming season. He's under contract. He is a free agent next year.
Yeah.
But there is a trend with running backs, Tommy.
What's that?
It is such a brutal position, and any play can change your career like that,
that
they don't want to go into what's called a lame duck year. They want to make sure that they have guaranteed money.
So they're covered.
Exactly. Right. So, yeah, they can't get hurt, become a free agent, and then make no money afterwards. Mm. So, this week, James Cook unfollowed the Bills on Instagram.
Wiped it clean of all Bills content.
Yep. No kidding.
And then,
are you breaking up?
In a discussion talking about his upcoming potential contract, he indicated he wanted $15 million a year from the Bills.
So what's a running back go these days?
All right, let me put it this way. If he were to get that contract, he would be the second highest paid running back in the NFL behind only San Francisco's Christian McCaffrey. And I think his argument is he had a better year than Christian McCaffrey did because he barely played at all. So why am I not worth the 15 million?
I feel like
a lot
of running backs could make that argument.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, he did it in a season where they weren't supposed to be that good.
Yes.
I mean, he was a huge part of the offense.
And he delivered.
Yeah. He had an historical season, like, legitimately. He had one of the best seasons a Bills running back has ever had.
So somebody's going to pay him.
Okay.
Right?
All right. Well, let's talk. So I do want to be clear, too. The Bills have been raving about James Cook. In fact, Sean McDermott, at the end of your press conference, and I'm paraphrasing, said they drafted him. He was just raving about him. They drafted him to be a pass-catching running back, and the way that he's evolved into a legitimate power runner, he loves the kid.
They found a lot of ways to use him.
Yes.
He fits very well with Joe Brady's offense.
And I love James Cook. Love James Cook. You can't pay him $15 million a year.
Not this year.
Next year, you can't do that.
But if you want a quality running back, you're going to have to pay somebody, aren't you? Long term.
Or you just keep drafting guys, which is what the Bills have kind of done. Now, granted.
Yeah, but that kind of like, that could bite you in the ass.
It can. Also, paying a running back $15 million could bite you in the ass. Allow me to gesture towards San Francisco.
Like Saquon Barker, what does he make?
Less than 15 mil.
I mean, is it a closer?
Well, let me put it this way. Derrick Henry, I believe, made eight last year.
He only made eight?
Well, I mean, he was on the downslope of his career. They thought he was done. But, I mean, he had a great season.
Oh, my God. You can't stop that kid.
That's what I'm saying. So, again, there's an argument both ways, where if the Bills can point to him and go say he's the best running back in the NFL, arguably, and he made only eight, you want 15. Mm-hmm. You ain't Derrick Henry, son, and you never will.
So, Saquon Barkley has an average annual salary of about over $12
million. All right, so he's $3 million under what Cook wants. Yeah. And, by the way, if Saquon Barkley were to become a free agent tomorrow, he may get $16, $17 million.
Okay.
I don't like this.
So he's going to be gone.
I don't. We'll see. It
doesn't look good if he's wiped all his social media clean of the bills.
Unless he's just doing this to get as much as he can.
Well, that's smart on his part.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is a common play.
Get the money
for players. But
I think like the social media stuff has also been added to a lot of these situations we see between teams and players, where it's like I'm ready to leave. I got one foot out the door. This is kind of their way of saying that.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Let's say he was worth $15 million, which, with all due respect, I don't think he was worth $15 million. You have so much money wrapped up in Josh Allen, and you're about to give him an extension.
Yeah.
You have to pay wide receiver Khalil Shakir. You have to pay defensive back Christian Benford, who has turned into arguably a top five corner in the NFL. You can't pay all these guys at the same time. You got to pay Greg Rousseau, defensive end. You got to pay Terrell Bernard, middle linebacker. I would, if you're asking me to, where does he fall in that pecking order? There's like two or three guys I think I'd sign before him.
So you think he's got to go then?
I think they would like to keep him if they can, but if he's really demanding that number, I think based on what the Bills have done the last few years, like maybe I'm forgetting somebody, but when was the last time they gave into those types of demands for somebody because they let Stephon Diggs go?
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk
and
running backs?
He was going to ask for a big contract eventually.
You want to talk running backs? I mean, both of the running back, all the running backs they've drafted under Brandon Bean, Zach Moss, and Devin Singletary, they let them go in a free agency.
It seems like they're willing to let guys walk if they don't feel like
out you go.
They're if they don't feel like they can pay them.
And the other thing that sucks for James Cook here, and again, he had a great season. You had a guy in Ty Johnson who was a free agent off the street who had an unbelievable season. He's the reason they won that Lions game. And then a guy in Ray Davis, who they drafted last year, who looks like actually be something.
All right, so you got two decent backs.
Well, one, Ty Johnson is a free agent. Right. But you would go back in this year and draft another guy.
Right.
But here's the big question.
What?
And the phone number is 252-WCMF. Again, we're talking about James Cook, Bills running back. Unfollowed the Bills, wiped his social media clean of all Bills content, and then said in a conversation on Instagram that he wants $15 million a year. He's also on Twitter liking everybody that says he should get $15 million.
Well, that's who you definitely like.
Well, but it's just some guy going like, I think he deserves $15 million. Like!
Yes.
The Bills have him under contract, like I said.
Right?
So this year, if he doesn't...
So he is coming back.
Well, that's just it.
But we've seen guys choose to sit.
Yeah.
Oh, you can just cut him loose?
I mean, you can hold out, say you're not going to play, hope the team trades you to someone who's willing to give you that contract, right?
Yeah.
Or you play the season out, and if any little thing feels wrong on your body,
pull a move.
I can't play.
Mm.
And that's a problem because this was supposed to be the year where it's like, all right, now we're going for
it. It all comes together.
I mean, look, he's got leverage.
Mm-hmm.
Smart move on his part to do it now.
Yeah, but it's going to hurt you in the court of public opinion.
Also, I was going to say, does
he
hurt?
Don't care. He doesn't deposit that in a bank.
Yeah, but does it hurt your locker room? I mean... Because the Bills are so, everybody eats, we're all in this together. I don't know how that plays if he does decide to return and still wants that money.
But this is how this business kind of works, though.
But I think she asked a great question, because to your point, it is a business, and every guy in that room...
wants their money.
Exactly. But at the same time, him not playing affects everybody else potentially getting their money.
We've seen that really disrupt teams before. I mean, it's happened to every franchise at some point.
But the counterpoint to that, let's say they give Josh the extension that he wants, another $250 million, so the Bills will have paid him $500 million. Mm-hmm. And I get why you would do that.
Yeah, you got to keep him.
I mean, how could someone like Josh Allen be like, you really got to take the deal that's on the table.
Yeah.
Excuse me while I take my $500 million.
But he could also pull a move like Brady did and take a little less so the kid gets his payday. Because that's how some of these dynasties hang out, right?
I don't think that ever happens in the history of the NFL. Because Brady was getting paid outside of the Patriots.
Well, yeah.
You know what I'm
saying? Yeah. But so is Josh now.
Well, no, I meant...
He's a gladiator in the offseason. That's got to be good in Rome.
My conspiracy theory is Brady was getting paid outside. Like the team was paying him.
Oh, like
somehow.
They were working around cap.
Something happened where it was cool.
But like can't you argue, though, Josh Allen is underpaid?
I do. I mean, think so, yes.
I think
underpaid?
He is.
Yeah, he is. In terms of where he ranks.
He's going to be a billionaire.
On the quarterback scale.
Right now with his contract, he is by far the best value in the NFL.
Which is insane at that money.
I mean, you may be able to make an argument for Derrick Henry with him only making $8 million last year, but only an argument. I don't think you can.
Well, he kind of saved that franchise.
Well, until he came into Buffalo.
Yeah.
So in that way, it's Josh.
All right.
Ah, Kimmy, everything was looking so good.
Yeah. Yeah. This happened quickly, too.
Yeah, like it came up. Well, James Cook doesn't speak.
Boom. Yeah.
In fact, the Bills made a joke out of it. They would do a video every week.
His quote of the week or
whatever. James, it was a James Cook words of encouragement of this week. It was like, game time. And then we go back to the music.
It sucks because it's an issue you didn't see coming this year. You know what I mean? You kind of figured, okay, well, next year will be the year that they decide, you know, if they want to keep him around, what they want to pay him. But this definitely throws a wrench into things.
But doesn't this happen to every one of these franchises when it starts to heat up?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to start getting money.
For sure.
And then it gets a little ugly.
No, you're not wrong.
That camaraderie only lasts so long in this business.
Well, but here's the thing. I wouldn't even say it's lack of camaraderie. The guy just wants his money, which...
Right, but you're saying it starts getting a little ugly and... Yeah.
Can I tell you, man, this is causing a little bit of a personal crisis with me.
What happened?
Because the blue-collar Bills fan, working-class guy in me is like, are you kidding me? Everything is going so well right now, and you're going to wreck it over wanting money that you probably aren't going to get from anybody else? Like, that is burning inside me.
You think the success would outweigh that, you're saying?
Exactly, yes. But on the other hand, the now grown, mature adult in me is thinking to myself...
things go very wrong for these guys.
Yes, and like, if you boil it back down to like real life, yes, I understand nobody listening is making $15 million a year, but if you're worth something at your job and they're not going to pay you, you should absolutely go somewhere else.
And no matter what class you're in, you would take that extra money.
Exactly. So
you'd
like,
take that money.
So like, I now have this inner battle of like, guy from Gates who's like, take that money and help my team! to like, yeah, get your money, man. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to do.
Take the billionaire's money.
No, but I want him to be here. I want him to play hard. We can't afford to pay him.
And by the way, they can afford.
No, there's a salary cap.
They move this over here. I hear Brady was doing it over here.
What are you talking about? You're not going to risk your franchise being wrecked.
Something over there.
James Cook.
You take a little off the stadium money. You don't need all those lights.
I don't think it works like that.
It doesn't. It absolutely works the opposite of that, actually. Let's take a break. I'm sorry, but I know we were rambling for too long.